Colossians 3, verses 8 through 11. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. For there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian or Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all.
Thank you, Brother Phil. Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you, Brother Brad, for filling in for me while I've been gone. I had to visit my brother in Florida and visit the woods in mid-northern Michigan. But I always miss you folks, miss the opportunity to bring God's word. The title of our lesson this morning comes from Colossians in the third chapter. Obviously, it's on here too also in Ephesians, but we sing the songs this morning. All hail the power of Jesus' name, heavenly sunlight, holy, 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 seeking the lost. All things that Jesus come to help us understand and realize there's things we need to put off and put on. Some of us haven't made that choice in our lives to put things off. And some of us still struggle with that and are tempted by that on a day-to-day basis. Our lesson this morning, I don't use Uncle Webster's much anymore because it doesn't come up when you Google it. So this is the Oxford Dictionary, but to put off something is to postpone something, or defer, delay, or put back, or adjourn, or hold over, reschedule, shelf, to table, put over, or to cause someone to lose interest or enthusiasm, to detour, discourage, dishearten, demoralize, dissuade, daunt, unnerve, imitate, scare off, offend, repel, disgust, revolt, repulse, sick and nauseate, to turn off. So our worldly concept, it's kind of, you know, just set it aside for a while. For whatever reason, shelf it, to table it, something that you don't want to do, something you don't like, something that's offensive to you. Well, potentially sin, hopefully, might fall into some of those categories, because that's what God's holy word this morning tells us through Colossians to do, is to put sin away. It doesn't say to shelf it or to table it or defer it for another day. It says put it away. Biblical term would mean get rid of it, to repent, which means not turning back. And this chapter tells us what to put on after we've put off the old man or things of the old man. But in Oxford, it mentions what put on is to place a garment on, piece of jewelry, or on part of one's body, to get dressed in, to don. Imagine that. Clothe oneself in, to pull on, to climb into, to fling on, throw on, pour oneself into, slip into, change into, to cause a device to operate, to turn on, switch on, flick on, power up, to activate. Now, I like some of those terms. Let's turn on some love. Let's turn on some forgiveness. Let's flip the switch on Jesus and make him alive in our lives. Let's activate Jesus. Let's power up in Christ. I like those terms. I think they fit well. They help motivate me and think of those things in positive terms and fit into my life or our lives on a daily basis. But we use these terms just generically, so we take them for granted, I think. You know? How many of us have put off filling up the gas tank until it runs out? How many of us put on makeup this morning? No? How many of us? Yeah, I mean, we just put on stuff and off all the time as part of our lives. It's unique that God's holy word, thousands of years ago, uses these terms for the old man and the new man, for sin and for godliness, for unrighteousness and righteousness. In the beginning of chapter 3, it is written, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them." Now see, for me, this is one of them passages, I think, in the world. It says, seek those things which are above, and set your mind on those things that are above. And then I think to myself, well, is it sinful for me to want to mow the lawn? That's on the earth. Is it sinful for me to want to wash the dishes or to cook a meal? Is it sinful for me to go to work? Am I setting my mind on things above? And God doesn't leave us with that question, because that's what Satan does. He wants us to think, you know what? If we're just a robot, putting off is not putting off this life and this gift of life God's given us, and putting off the world that God's blessed us with. It's putting off sin. And that's what this says. Put to death these things, sinful things. Going to work isn't sinful. Eating a meal isn't sinful. Taking care of what God's blessed you with isn't sinful. Some people want you to think that anything materialistic and in this world is evil. And if you don't walk around like a zombie and act like we think you should, you're not Christ-like. Guess what? Those are the same demands that the Sadducees and Pharisees and religious leaders put upon Jesus. That's why Jesus came to say, I love you. This is not how you're supposed to behave. And it's also why the Word of God reminds us that the wrath of God will be put upon those people. True justice is with God. I don't know about you, but how many of you have seen true justice in a school system or at the workplace or in politics? Okay? Those people that make all those lane changes and never use their blinker, and they're more important than you, apparently. Or maybe they've got an emergency in their lives and we don't know about. Whatever the reason is, God will sort those things out. God says, vengeance is mine. I'll take care of those evil things and those people that aren't treating people the way they should. Those people that aren't putting off the old man. I'll take care of that. You worry about yourself and putting on the new man. Seek those things which are above. Set your mind on those things above. Don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. Guess what? Benjamin Franklin was attributed with this. Thomas Jefferson was attributed with this. There's a multitude of people that attributed with this saying, and I just happened to pull up the one by Thomas Jefferson. Maybe tomorrow I'll start reading God's holy word. Maybe tomorrow I'll start praying a little more. Maybe tomorrow I want to forgive that person. Maybe tomorrow I'll pick one thing that I don't hate anymore. Maybe tomorrow I'll tell someone I love them. Maybe tomorrow I'll tell somebody I forgive them. Maybe tomorrow I'll tell somebody I need them. I tried to use a slide, but it didn't come up, and it's a quote from Bo Jackson, and it says, tell somebody you love them today, because you might not have the chance tomorrow. It was too, and the pixels didn't match. Bo Jackson. Now or later. What are we going to put off the old man or the new man on, now or later? Colossians, our passage of the day, says, from Colossians 3, 8 through 11. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. On the way to worship this morning, we talked about schedules, a little bit scheduling, and how we use schedules in our lives briefly. And a lot of times in our lives, we want to put off dealing with anger or wrath or malice or blasphemy or filthy language out of our mouth. Let us not pick and choose the sins that we want to keep and want to release. Let's put them all off now, not later. Now. Let Christ empower you. Put on the new man. And God's word is so precious. It tells us these things are dangerous. These things are hurtful for you. These aren't good for you. Don't do these things. And then it tells us what to do. As we put off those things, you know, how many of us have changed it? You know, we're dieting or whatever we're trying to get rid of in our lives. They always say, whatever you're out, you got to replace it with something else. Well, that's what God's word does. It says, get away from sin and put love in your heart. Get away from unrighteousness and put righteousness in your heart. And these things are love, and these things are righteousness. In Colossians chapter 3 and continuing, it reads, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. So you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Put on love. But above all these things, put on love. It's unique that until we put on love, we have a hard time having the peace of God in our hearts. And until we put on love and we have the peace of God in our hearts, it's tough to be thankful. And God's holy word gives us this recipe. You know, a while back we did some recipes from God's word. This is one of them recipes that enables us to be right and be able to do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus, and to sing with joy and have your life be a song to the world around you, to be the elect of God, to be holy and beloved. I got home late from Michigan last night. Went up there and put some windows in the cabin, did some things. I'm laying in bed reading with my iPad. My lovely wife is falling asleep. And I'm reading, and all she rolls over and quack. I'm like, what was that for? Obviously very uncharacteristic of my wife. She's like, oh, it's just rolling over. I'm sorry. I'm like, what did I do? Nothing. I was just rolling over in my sleep. And I mentioned something simple like that to explain to us. A lot of those times when we say, why did that happen? Why did you do that to me? It was just a simple mistake. Somebody wasn't paying attention. She said, I'm sorry. How many people offend us and say, I'm sorry, and we never hear it? How many people offend us and we don't say, I forgive you? It's no big thing. I'm going to put on tender mercies. I'm going to put on forgiveness. I'm going to put on love. I'm going to let the peace of God work in my heart, no matter what comes my way. That's the neat thing about the power of the Spirit of God. And his truth and how it works in our lives. We have to put off the old man. We have to put on the new man. What happens when we get new clothes for Christmas? They're only new once. We put them on. Next time they're washed. Now, it might be new, but it's not new. New, not brand new. But I ask us to consider sin and righteousness. Are you continuing to renew yourself and renew your mind and your spirit and put on all those things? Or you think just everything's good and you're just hanging it in the closet? Hopefully you're not putting sin in the closet and you're still waiting and you got the key to that door. You put sin in the toilet and you flush it down the toilet so it's gone. You're not going to see it again. Well, hopefully. I'm in construction and yeah, we got a septic tank. But folks, you don't pull those things back up. You let them go. You've put them off. You become a new person. Be energized. Turn the switch. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Put on love. Put on love. Put on love. Be holy. Yes, and part of all that is putting on love is bearing with one another and forgiving one another. And you know, this was written to Christians. If anyone has a complaint against another, in our society, is it acceptable to complain against another? How many of us have a complaint filed against us at work? Maybe just me, okay? That's okay. I'll confess. Some justified, some not. A lot of our complaints are in our minds and hearts because we're not putting on the love of God. I'm still angry about something that happened 10 years ago. I still can't forgive that person. Not so with Christ. Not so with us. We should be empowered by the Spirit of God to put off the old man, put on the new man. There are 7 days in a week, and someday isn't one of them. Don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. We're getting ready to start a new year, where I know we're in the holiday season, but I was thinking about the new year for me. I got plans and hopes and dreams and things to do in this world, And I haven't made any plans for the kingdom of heaven yet. I need to do that. I implore you to think about those things in your life. Do you wish for Christmas? If somebody asks you, what do you want for Christmas? I want to be able to have a Bible study with somebody. I want to let the love of God rule in my heart. I want to continue to put on the new man and put off the old man. Thinking about heavenly things. I plead with us as children of God not to say someday. Get away from saying someday I'll follow Jesus. Someday I'll make a change. Someday I'll get rid of that sin in my life. Someday I'll love like Jesus loves. Today is the day. Today is the day to forgive and to love and put on Christ and put on the new man. Be renewed in your spirit day by day, as God's holy word says. The end of the chapter in Colossians 3 is written as such. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ, but he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. It's unique. I'm going to explain to you why I picked this picture to go with this passage of Scripture. And I, just a thought. This passage of Scripture is one of the best passages of Scripture to examine your heart and to mend relationships or to strengthen relationships. There's two things I've cried the most over in my life. And that's destroyed relationships and death and sickness of loved ones. Other than that, I don't cry too much. I'm not a crier. I'm not a crybaby. I'm just kidding. Do I cry as much as Jesus? I don't know. How much did Jesus cry? We know he did some. But to keep you from weeping tears of sorrow in your own life, put on a new man. Wives, submit yourself to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Children, obey your parents. Love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. We talked a couple weeks ago about tit for tat. I'll get back. You've made me angry. You've hurt me. Love one another. Put on the new man. Don't hold a grudge. It's fitting in the Lord for women and wives to submit to their own husbands. In our world, that's a terrible thing to say. Not in the kingdom of heaven. Because just as we submit to the feet of the cross, that's why I use this picture, okay? Each and every time we apply God's holy word to our lives, we are kneeling at the cross. When a wife submits to her husband, she's kneeling at the cross. When she's not submitting to her husband, what is she doing? She's being proud. Potentially sinful. When a husband doesn't love his wife and he's bitter toward his wife, he's not kneeling at the feet of the cross. He's not looking unto Jesus, his Lord and Savior, to guide his heart in that relationship. Same way with children. Obey your parents. Disobedient children aren't humbling themselves at the cross of Christ. even though we probably all have been there. Bondservants, children that get discouraged. I had an emergency eye doctor appointment on Friday because I have floaters in one eye. I took a nap Thursday afternoon and woke up with floaters in my eye. How many of you have floaters in your eye? I didn't even know what they were. I took my contacts out, still something in my eye. I'm rubbing my eye to ask my wife, is there something in my eye? She says, looks like little spider webs and spots. She says, oh, that's floaters in your eye. I said, how do you know that? Well, I got them. I don't know everything. I still got a floater. I get on the web to the Googler, as we used to say, where I a previous place of employment, to the Googler. Gee whiz, I better go see an eye doctor. It might be okay, it might not be. So I had, luckily, somebody was open Friday, went emergency, called the emergency line, had to check my eye out. Everything's okay, so I drove to Michigan. Kinda. Folks, things come our way we got to deal with. There's things we still have to deal with that we don't know about. I don't want to deal with floaties in my eye. But it's not going to turn me into somebody that's the old man. I'm going to be humble to be a new man. I'm not going to be angry at God. Things happen in our lives, physically, emotionally, monetarily. Let us create us to revert back to an old man. To use these things that happen to us and say, man, I need your help. I need God's help even more now. It's funny. How come none of you told me about floaties in the eye? Didn't you know I needed to know about that? See, I had to kneel at the cross and say, if I got to live with floaties in my eyes, I guess I'm going to do that. The title of our lesson this morning is Put Off or Put On. And I ask us this morning to look at God's passages that we've looked at this morning pertaining to putting things on and off and what that does for us and what that can do for us, and to consider the things. Put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Put off the old man, put on the new man. Seek those things which are above and set your mind on things above. Put to death your members which are on the earth. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. Put on love. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Submit, love, and obey. In sincerity of heart, fearing God, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward. Pray if you haven't put on Christ this morning, we offer the invitation to do so. Or if you haven't put off the old man and put on the new man, even though you're obeying Christ, there's no better time to make things right with him as we stand and sing the selected hymn this morning.